Hello and welcome to That's a Thing, a sometimes belated, already outdated guide to your teens, tweens, and everything under 20. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Karen, and we're a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported.
That we are, and that it is. So there are certain occupational hazards to doing this particular kind of podcast, since I'm very dependent on what is trending, popular, in the feed at any given time, and I try to do an episode right when something is coming into the mainstream and mom's about to hear about it anyway. And sometimes I get that timing exactly right, and I'm very proud of myself. However, other times, a month later, I would have written the episode completely differently. So my timing was bad. I'm atoning for my sins. Let's have a brief conversation about Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo. So I sent you this song, Mom.
Yeah.
Before we started recording. So can you give me a brief rundown of what this song is like and what it's about and your general impressions of it?
Oh, I can try. I listened to it once.
Well, that's what I want. I want a first impression.
And I thought you sent it to me to say, see, other people think that driver's licenses are stupid too. That's what I thought you were conveying to me.
No.
Okay. Because this is a conversation we have, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You, a person who doesn't want to learn how to drive. It's like a breakup song.
Yes.
And it sounds like all of the other songs to me because I didn't listen to it very carefully, but it seemed at first blush like not my thing.
Okay. So some background here. Olivia Rodrigo is a 17-year-old singer and actress. We actually have the same birthday, which means she's exactly 1 year younger than me and way more successful than I will ever be. So that's gross, and I don't like it very much. Her debut single, Driver's License, was released on January 8th of this year. It has since rocketed to the top of the Billboard Hot 100 and is more than twice as popular as the song in the number 2 spot.
Wow.
So it's not just big, it's huge. It's massive.
How did I not ever even hear about it?
Because it's pop music and you don't care about it. Like, the Twitter knows. Twitter knows what it will show you, right? So I immediately get a bunch of articles about this because I've told Twitter that I need to see stuff like this. And I was also noticing the song because I have to constantly monitor TikTok because I've made a terrible choice with what I want to do with my life.
Have to, yes.
Yeah. but anyway, so I'm not surprised that it didn't hit your radar, but of course it was immediately everywhere for me. And I was like, oh God, I just made an episode about music and now music is trending.
Uh-oh.
No. Right? And so I immediately start looking into it. I would describe more specifically, apart from pop, Driver's License is sad pop, which is like just normal pop staples, but aggressively sad lyrics, delivery, and sound. Would you say that's about right?
Yeah.
I will say, song has a good hook. That's what I can say about it. Like the big drop with red lights in the chorus. It sounds interesting to ear. Sticks in head good. Good making song from somebody who doesn't know a lick of music theory. In terms of actual narrative for the song, tells the story of the narrator's relationship, reflecting on how her boyfriend and her were so excited for her to get her driver's license so she could drive to his house, except that he left her for an older, more experienced person, and now driving is a bittersweet freedom, which she contemplates as she drives through his neighborhood. It's very sad and emotional, I'm sure. It's one of these things where I look at it and I'm like, I understand the symbolism and deep meaning of the lyrics, and I can't relate. Boy, can I not relate. So it's a solid song, sounds good, is quote-unquote deep. It's from a cool pop newcomer. It was helped to success by massive TikTok hype, so it's a totally normal number one hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you look behind the scenes. So first, Olivia began her career as a child actor on the Disney Channel series Bizardvark. This is the one Logan Paul was on, which is a bad sign. It means you're a cursed person. We'll never feel peace. But she was on that show much longer than he was. And then she more recently starred in the Disney Plus show, High School Musical, the musical, the series, where she had multiple musical numbers. Now, if you pay attention to Disney TV shows, you know that you can kind of keep being famous off of Disney child stardom if you want to. You'll have like a Selena Gomez moment or something. And they'll just kind of give you a pop career as a parting gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is very possible that that is kind of how she really got her foot in the door, rather than coming out of nowhere like a Little Nas X or something, right? So it's less that narrative as much as it would seem like people want it to be that narrative, and a lot more like famous person continues to be famous, film at 11, right? But yeah, there also seems to be some behind-the-scenes Disney Channel drama behind the song, making it at least apparently autobiographical. And for something that's so in your feelings, people care about that. And it has to be honest and from the heart and true, right? And so it appears that she was, in fact, dumped by a Disney Channel star boy for a Disney Channel star girl.
You don't usually care about this stuff,
though. I super continue to not care about it, but it's relevant, apparently.
Okay.
So if you actually, like, look up her name, what you see is the top headlines, and this might remind you of a thing we always talk about. Boyfriend supports new girlfriend single about old girlfriend.
Mm.
Drama, drama, drama. Dramatic love triangle. Like, that's, like, there's tons of, like, People and Us articles about it. So it's like almost old-fashioned like drama to go with the song, which might remind you of sweaty men bumping into each other in a ring, perhaps. it's another wrestling moment. Yeah.
Yes. That the overarching theory that we have been working on for three seasons or 3 years of That's a Thing is that ultimately everything is wrestling.
Everything. Like... Yeah.
And when we say that, we're saying it's because the drama is part of the product and that it feeds it, and it is in fact the part people care about more than the ostensible thing that the thing is.
Mm-hmm. Fun times. I love living in a world that is not at all a simulation. But what this also means for the song specifically is that teenage girls, especially young teenage girls, were already deeply invested in these people, their lives, and their drama, and they wanted the dirt on that drama, right?
Right.
And so they're being handed diss tracks in the form of emotional sad pop. That's what's happening right now. That's what it is, which is weird. It also means that I had to find out about real human being Disney star shipping TikTok, which exists and sucks, and I hate it. And it makes me uncomfortable that people are shipping these real life exes for meme cred on TikTok. It's bad. People shouldn't do it. Our second clue as to how this song has like the big TikTok hype is kind of given to us by how it has hype on TikTok. So in our previous episode, we talked about music as kind of an extension of traditional memeing, right? It's like part of the meme format, or it's background noise for something that you just need sound on your video, right? That's not, for the most part, what this is. Can you guess how this song is popular on TikTok? Like, what it's used for?
I don't think I'm familiar enough with, like, TikTokies.
Just based on what you know. Just based on what you know.
Well, like, I didn't know. Like, little girls lip sync it, I would guess.
Yeah, that's there.
And duets, maybe? I don't know.
There's lip syncing. There's covers. But beyond that, there is a fandom around the song. So every, like, a ton of these videos are about how good, how powerfully sad and meaningful the song specifically is to these people.
Okay.
Which is totally different from what you usually see. You don't usually see people talking about, like, the song itself unless they're doing, like, experimental genre switches and stuff that they get more clicks if it's a big song. It's more of, like, I associate this song with doing an outfit change, so I do that. Or it's just a case of I needed background music, right? But this is like, I'm making a TikTok about this song because this song means so much to me. And that's weird. Just, you have to take my word for it. Super weird. Okay. Not usually how this works. Stood out to me immediately because that's not how this works. And because I like immediately knew I was watching a driver's license TikTok. And so people are writing verses from the POV of the other woman or the ex-boyfriend or whatever, and just people joking about ending their happy relationships so they can relate more to the song, and people being like, I've never been in love, but I sure want to feel the feelings of this song, and like, gonna roll around dramatically in a bed full of roses to really bathe in it. And again, it's like, I can't relate, and I will not try to relate either. I don't get it. But it kind of feels to me, and to a lot of people, like some kind of AstroTurf marketing campaign. Like, uh-huh. They've managed to persuade TikTok that this is a good song, and then built it being a good song and onto the charts off of persuading TikTok that this is the most important thing in the world. I don't like that very much.
But do you think this is being done by way of paid influencers who are then influencing other people to organically proclaim their love for the song?
I have no idea. Like, it's hard to find out where exactly it came from at this point, because stuff spreads and stuff gets deleted and everything, right? But it certainly, just because it's so different, it feels weird to me. Like, it's possible that pop song fandom has, like, generated as a new genre on TikTok overnight, but it doesn't seem likely to me. Even, like, alt kids who are bonded by their music don't usually do that, right?
Just so I understand. So last episode you talked about Eyes Blue... like the, what is it?
Eyes Blue Like the Atlantic, and I'm going down like the Titanic.
Yeah.
And then you repeat that.
Yeah. Okay.
Many times.
So people really liked that song, but you're saying that the way that they expressed their attraction to that song was by remixing it and using it in their own thing rather than making TikToks about how much they like that song.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't have somebody sitting there in their car and they're just like, all of the captions are like, I heard this song for the first day and boy, I too am going down like the Titanic. Right. And my eyes are green, but I'm getting contacts so I can relate better to this song, which is what it would be if it was like driver's license. Okay. And so it's really very, very strange. And that's why I'm kind of suspicious of it. But it also seems like at this point, people are mostly just like, bandwagoning onto the sadness train, mm-hmm. and like it's the cool thing to be made very sad by this song, and this is why I'm very glad that I don't care about things that are popular or impressing people or clout, but anyway, I just felt like I had to talk about this weird little moment and what might end up being the song of the year already this early.
Wow, that's crazy.
Because it just kind of popped up at the wrong time and I had to make amends.
I know you want to move on to your next thing, but I just had this flash of like that this is all part of like a huge gigantic Disney plan on the like on the scale of what they're doing with Marvel, and that we're going to end up with like a driver's license Broadway musical and driver's license, I don't know, merch and like
I mean there's already a cinematic universe. There's a clapback track from the alleged other woman. Like it's ongoing, never ending drama. It's wrestling, Mom. It's just, I look at it and I'm like, oh, they made wrestling for tweens. I watched wrestling as a tween. That's not fair. There are tweens who watch wrestling. John Cena wouldn't have had a fan base if there were tweens who watch wrestling. The deep cuts. Can we move on now? Or yes. Do you have anything? Okay, cool. We're going to move on to your job in ad break.
Oh, okay. This episode is brought to you by BGC Bigs. That is Boys and Girls Clubs, Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Edmonton and area, and they are looking for volunteers like you. Families that have needed help need it now more than ever, and with BGC Bigs, volunteers have the power to change the course of young people's lives across the community during the pandemic and beyond. Together, we can ignite the hope that we all need right now. Dedicating your time to the life of a child or youth makes an impact that goes far beyond Zoom calls, video game battles, or tutoring sessions. Explore how you can get involved and watch your community change one life at a time. There is currently a need for virtual mentors, tutors, and in-person volunteers to be big brothers or big sisters. I know someone who's a big sister, and she's found that whole experience very rewarding and lovely. So join BGC Bigs for a virtual coffee at one of their online open houses to learn more about volunteering and get more information at bgcbigs.ca or just Google BGC Bigs. It's easier than you think.
Nice. Okay, so now we're going to slowly wade into the meat of what I want to talk about. take a like nice dip, ankle deep, into the tallow. So this is a pretty old, by internet standards, like a couple of months story, not very relevant to the overall world at this point. So I'm not going to bother with names and dates because I'm bad at those. If you care, we're going to leave a video in the show notes so that you can like get the deets. But I personally don't think this guy deserves fact-checking, and I don't think it's important to the episode. So vague language, just overall case study story is the mood we're going for.
Okay.
If I get something wrong, it was on purpose, probably. It was a joke. There you go. You can't hold me accountable
this
for my actions.
This is terrible. I don't endorse this scholarship. All
right. Anyway, time for an absolutely poggers case study. So a small YouTuber in like 2012 or something makes a video about pogs. Mom, what are pogs?
Why are you talking like a valley girl?
Just to establish how much thought I actually put into this section.
Pogs are little round circles of, I don't know, cardboard or something that people used to like trade and play with. I was a little bit too old for pogs when they came along.
I was a little bit too young for pogs when they came along. Yeah. So we are lost really here. But you kind of seem to know what they are, so let's keep going. What's a pog champ?
Somebody who's really good at playing pogs? Sort of? I don't know.
You don't really know, right? Which is weird, because you do kind of know what pogs are, but you get kind of lost when you get to the champ part.
Yeah.
Which is really poggers. So anyway, in said video, my guy coins the term pog champ, and the term is stored dormant in the great vault of internet slang. In another video, our small YouTuber bro makes a funny face. Never make a funny face on the internet. Never ends well. It becomes the pog face. It is a meme. Small YouTuber hates this meme. Pro tip, nobody cares whether you want to be a meme or not because the internet is desensitized and bad morally. Never do anything. You are at risk if you leave your house. now it's 2020 and culture is in hyperdrive because there's a pandemic. I wonder what that's like. streaming is extremely popular. Why might that be? Because they talk to you and you haven't had normal social interaction in a year, right? And so streamers are like getting rock star status, tons of people in the chat all the time. Like you look at these chats and it's like not really a place to share conversations. It's a chance to get 0.5 seconds in the YouTube video of this that just like flies by the corner of the screen. So yeah, nobody has regular social interaction since March. Everybody's screaming. That's the space. And so Twitch slang, which is where Pog Champ and Pog and Poggers have been lying dormant for so long, and which is usually an isolated space that's separate from everywhere else, has started leaking into the wider internet, which does not usually happen. Typically, slang that makes it like through the internet into everybody is appropriated AAV, stuff like yeet, African-American vernacular English.
Right.
So it gets taken from basically Black queer people and then like slowly diluted to the point where the people who are using it don't know what it means.
Right. So and yeet would be example. Yes, yeah. Queen would be an example.
Yeah. All of that stuff. There's actually, there's a bot that you can press that makes misused AAVE, and it just looks like any politician who's ever tried to use it ever. It's really, it's fun. Something I try to be really aware of now is like what language I'm using and whether I understand it. Right. But POG came from Twitch, and so it's a term that probably had a kind of specific meaning at some point there, and then just generally slowly got distorted and diluted to the point where it just kind of means I am expressing hype. Something hype is happening, and I am hyping it up. Do the, like, punching dance where you, like, move your arms to the ceiling. Something exciting has happened in Minecraft. That's what POG does, right? Okay. And so people just kind of start using it, mostly because it's funny to say poggers. Like, say poggers.
Poggers.
Isn't that great? Isn't she such a POG champ for that, listeners? Right? And so everybody's using this everywhere. It's, like, all over the place by the end of 2020. And it's a fun time. It's the most innocent thing in the world, right? It's not even appropriative. It wasn't even stolen from anywhere important, right? Like, A+, great slang, great fun, great memeing. Most people don't know who PogChamp guy is, apart from that image, what he's doing right now. What is that guy up to anyway?
I'm having an impending sense of doom.
Yeah. He's a Trump supporter. Well, okay, lots of people are Trump supporters, not great, but you know, it's all right. I never had a reason to believe otherwise. He is a COVID denier. He just came out as anti-vax. Oh god, he just tweeted his support for the Capitol riot. PogChamp guy sucks. Jeez.
Is this all true?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Like, what? PogChamp guy sucks. And so everybody realizes that PogChamp guy sucks. This guy who hasn't really been properly famous for about 10 years, was never really properly famous, gets canceled somehow because his meme was still really big. And Twitch removes his face from the Twitch emote, which is like just images, like emojis you have on Twitch. And Pog just kind of drifts out of use at its height. It's not like a meme that died naturally. It's like a meme that was assassinated. And everybody's really bummed out. Well, that's kind of a bummer of a story, right?
Yeah.
But why? Why is that a bummer? PogChamp guy was never able to, like, monetize the meme. He didn't like the meme. It made him angry. If you want to upset the man, you should continue using the meme. He doesn't profit from his image at all, which is probably problematic, but not relevant. The word PogChamp has mutated very far from its original appearance, original meaning, and tons of language has more problematic origins than guy who kind of sucks now said it 10 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Did he even suck back then? We don't know. So why did this kill the meme? My pet theory is that people had developed, even this one little image of human face, people had developed some kind of relationship with that goofy little Twitch emote. And they felt like, in some way, they understood who this goofy little dude was. And so when PogChamp guy was quote-unquote canceled, which is, a weird thing for you to be when you haven't been famous for a long time, people felt that they'd been, like, deceived in some way or been a poor judge of character because they hadn't known. And now that meme makes people sad and angry about the situation and about how nobody's ever a good person and about how they ever used it in the first place when the guy kind of sucked.
I need to back you up a little bit and make sure that I understand. Like, we don't want to get too into it, but just explain once again how PogChamp guy manifested. Okay. Where would I have seen him?
He was on a YouTube channel. He had a YouTube video became a meme with his face.
What is the meme?
His face is funny.
It's just his face.
Yeah. But the word PogChamp is associated with it.
Okay.
It's the Pog meme.
So this, in the same way that Pepe the Frog became a meme.
Yeah.
Right? Is it the same?
Way? Well, this is a real human man. Okay. And this is like real human face. That he continues to have. I presume. I don't follow him actively.
But his real human face has then turned into like a thing that people
use. Turned into
use.
The visual representation of you just did something cool in Minecraft or you're about to do something cool in Minecraft, yes.
And then people would use that as shorthand.
Yeah.
Use his face as shorthand.
Yeah.
And, okay. But now they can't because he turns out to be a bad person.
Yeah, he kind of sucks.
Because he's a real person and not like a cartoon frog.
Yeah.
And even a cartoon frog turned out to be, end up accidentally associated with bad things, but this is like a real person who actually sucks in the world.
Yeah, he actively associates with bad things because he's a person with free will.
And he said Pog once, and...
Yeah, he said PogChamp once.
He said PogChamp once, and so now nobody can say PogChamp or Poggers without...
Intense shame.
Without feeling like they are somehow endorsing this guy.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I hate internet. It's just like they had some kind of relationship with this image and their use of it, and everything associated with that has become negative and embarrassing. Just because the dude kind of sucks, which is like, maybe we should just stop using real people for all of these things that we could use not real people for. But also, it's just kind of like,
how did it even? Yeah, it is a weird story. How did it even come to light that PogChamp guy was bad? Because now I'm thinking of other real people who are in memes, right? Yeah. So I didn't know if it's Free Real Estate Guy is a real guy, but does anybody know anything about him? Like, have they found him in real life and determined whether you're saying something problematic when you use his face?
The thing is, that has happened before. Do you remember Ken Bone, ancient from the 2016 election?
Yeah.
People went back into like his Reddit history and found him commenting on lewd images.
Yes.
And he got canceled for that. They canceled the funny sweater man who couldn't decide which was a better person to vote for out of the two somehow in hindsight. Right. And then like there was the dude from a while ago who was on a skateboard and held cranberry juice and listened to a song. Right. Like that meme from like the summer.
Yeah.
Turns out he says slurs that aren't part of his racial group. So he got canceled as well. So it's like there are people who actively, mostly on Twitter, because that's a bad place with bad people on it, make their mission trying to purge problematic people from the internet, which is a fool's errand because every person is problematic. And it is kind of like the Twitter fun police in a lot of ways, in terms of like, oh, well, you can't reference that guy because you're tacitly supporting what he did. And it's like, I didn't even know what he did. Am I supposed to research every funny boy? And it's like, maybe, but we haven't established that norm. So I just have to feel bad now. Right.
Right.
And like, it's just, this is a case of that happening where it had like massive implications on like the Twitch culture, right? Because that was like one of the things that came from Twitch, one of the big moments really where Twitch really broke into the mainstream, which it's been a big year for Twitch for reasons we talked about already. Mm-hmm. But like this was kind of their moment for that, and it's a weird thing.
It is a weird thing.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. Does PogChamp guy owe us that he's a good person? And like,
He should be a good person.
He should be like, a good person. He, yeah. But like, I don't know. It's like, it's weird that he's both an inanimate object that you use in Twitch conversation.
Right.
And a real human being who can do heinous things. And those two realities can exist simultaneously and separately for so long, and then they just kind of crashed together and imploded. And it makes me like feel weird. It's a weird thing, and it's weird that that was the reaction, I guess, especially here where it was really clear and dramatic when it happened. Like, we went from tweets like, what does Pog mean, is this Poggers, what's Poggers, what's PogChamp, to like, just, I haven't seen the phrase mentioned and ages, right?
Like, it's very outre to say now. Like, it's like, you clearly haven't been paying attention if you use this. Yeah.
So, I don't know. We're going to talk about another Twitch story in a minute. But first, ad break?
Sure. This episode of That's a Thing is also brought to you by Searching for Izina, a special 9-part podcast series from YWCA Edmonton, Parody Yeg, and several current and former Edmonton city councillors. Searching for Izina, Unwomanly Stories of Female Leadership at Edmonton City Hall, spotlights the untold story of Izina Ross, Edmonton's first female councillor, and the 30 other women who followed in her footsteps in the last 100 years. Co-hosts Stacey Brotzel and Kim Ann Wilson also will also uncover the political barriers that have yet to be broken, even in 2021. First episode is called Part 1, Number 30 and Number 31, and it profiles the political journeys of Councillors Bev Esslinger and Sarah Hamilton, Edmonton's two current female councillors. You'll hear about why they ran, what it was like to be called the C word, and why they relish talking drainage with the best of them. Find Searching for Izina on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And for more information about it, head to searchingforizina.com. And I would just say that I listened to episode one. It was very interesting. It's great to hear Stacey Brotzel again, and it's fantastic to hear Kim Ann Wilson, who I met at Pod Summit a few years ago and has a great podcast of her own called De Melanin Queens, which is also very fun.
Nice. Mm. Okay. Time to get into podcast that is never uplifting, hosted by me. Do we make progress here? No, we mostly go backwards. Welcome to the internet. So we're going to dream a little dream of Dream. Have you heard of Dream?
Only
apart from me ranting about Dream?
You say this word sometimes and it's like, what are you talking about? And you say, just wait till we do the podcast.
Well, so it's funny because really it's more of a nightmare.
That is very corny.
And probably not original. You know that thing where, like, on Twitter, like, an obvious joke will come up and then, like, 15 people will make the obvious joke and then, like, everybody fights over who came up with it? That was one of those. But anyway, do you know anything about Dream apart from that he makes me foam at the mouth?
I am given to understand that he's a speedrunner.
Yes.
Yes. In Minecraft.
Yes.
Which I kind of don't understand that concept in itself.
I can give you a rundown.
Okay. That's all. And he has come upon some controversy about his speedrunning.
Yes. So a couple of things you need to know about Dream beforehand. First, Dream is anonymous. Nobody knows what he looks like. Nobody knows really where he is at any given time. People are not likely to run into him on the street and recognize him. So he is very famous, and also nobody knows who he is. Dream is like a Banksy. It's like everybody knows that there is a Dream out there, but like, which guy is it on the subway? Who knows, right? The other thing is that Dream went from 1 million subs at beginning of pandemic.
Subscriptions.
Yes, sorry. Dream went from 1 million subscriptions on YouTube, which is the old person way to say it.
Subscribers, yes.
To 15 million subscribers at the end of 2020 to around 16 million now.
Wow.
So went from big YouTube channel, but your fan base is still kind of your fan base and you know the biggest actors in it, to just unbelievably huge mega corporation of a YouTube channel, right? And again, that just comes down to, it was a pandemic and there are a lot of very lonely teenagers who've lost their social groups. Third thing is that Dream definitely cheated at Minecraft speedrunning about a month ago. So how do
definitely
you
allegedly, let's say that. We don't
No, he was like, because the moderating body took him off of the leaderboard. Okay. It's like, he's essentially been tried. And it's not a crime. You're allowed to do it. It's just like not particularly morally good. So basically how Minecraft speedrunning works. Minecraft it appears to be a sandbox game. Most people play it as a sandbox game. So you just kind of wander around a world that's been generated for you and you play around in it. But it is technically possible to win Minecraft. There is technically a story arc. And basically the way that works is you spawn in your world. So you start your game, you start your time. You have to collect certain items in one world that let you get to a second world. The second world is really difficult. It has a lot of random number generation. So that basically means that there are a lot of creatures that you have to kill by hitting with a sword, like any video game, right? And they drop items, but a computer runs a bunch of numbers to decide which item it will drop. And you need certain ones. So you need good luck to do good at Minecraft speedrunning, as well as high skill at Minecraft speedrunning. You get those items. You go to the other place. You kill the big monster. You end the game. And you get your Minecraft record. So Dream was pretty consistently placing really high on the Minecraft speedrunning charts for the type of speedrunning he was doing. Clearly a very skilled player, builds a fan base on being very skilled at doing Minecraft fast, right? Which is an industry these days.
Wow.
Because people understand Minecraft, people have access to Minecraft, and there are older people like me who have nostalgia for Minecraft, as well as younger people who are just finding out about Minecraft and getting excited about it.
Right.
Minecraft is maybe one of the most like revolutionary games of all time in terms of that impact and longevity. There's always been Minecraft YouTube. Like, it's just a staple of YouTube. And it's had a big resurgence because of the pandemic and streaming. But basically, Dream cheated at the Minecraft speedrunning. Well, how do you do that? How do you cheat at the speedrunning of the esports, right? So it's basically like you are cycling in the Olympics, right? If you want to cycle in the Olympics, you probably have a limited range of bikes you're allowed to use, and those bikes will probably be provided to you in order to make sure that everybody's on the same footing when they start their bicycle race, right? What happened here is, like, if Dream grabbed his bicycle and he snuck it into the garage and he put a hyperdrive engine on it, and then he used that to win his race. So what he actually did was he went into the code of the game and he basically fiddled with the numbers. So these things that drop really rarely dropped all the time. He had fantastic luck.
Right.
Right. And so that's basically what it was. He doped his esports. And people started to notice that his luck was really good, and that was what was giving him the edge. Like, he was competitive before. He was doing good. But now, like, he's doing the best, not because he's discovered some new strategy or something, but because his luck is great. So everybody's like, wait, buddy, I've never seen luck this good before. And so the mod team of Minecraft speedrunning, because this is a thing that exists, and they manage the leaderboard and do all of the regulating. Speedrunning is really interesting, by the way. I've been getting into it as like background noise for the last couple of like weeks. Really interesting. But there's a mod team that comes in and basically does a ton of math to figure out the odds of him actually getting this luck, to see if maybe he just got lucky a couple of times, or maybe it's doping. And so they do a bunch of number crunching. They try to do a bunch of statistics. They bias really heavily in his favor, and it's still incredibly unlikely that he got these numbers. Even more unlikely that he got these numbers for weeks.
Right.
Right? And so now it seems like Dream defo cheated at Minecraft speedrunning, and they take all of his records off the leaderboard, and they say they won't be accepting submissions from him, which is like the same thing you do when an Olympics athlete turns out to be doping, right?
Yeah, it's
like
you don't say, get to play the game anymore.
You don't get your medal. That goes to the guy who should have won it.
Yeah.
And you don't get to do the Olympics anymore.
Yeah.
Right? And it does seem like he is unique for doing this. Like, it's not like a baseball in the 80s type situation where it's like it would be unfair to take it away from him. It's like he's the only guy who went in and did this hard, right? And it's since been like people have started really enjoying dunking on him for this, because it is very funny that he did this. It's a very funny thing to cheat at.
Okay.
So people have since run like 10 million games of Minecraft simulations to try to replicate his luck, and they've never replicated the exact luck he had. Like, they've always gotten worse luck.
Right.
So, dude defo cheated. Absolutely cheated at Minecraft. I'll repeat it until I die, because it's funny that he keeps denying it. Maybe he'll like come out yesterday and say, oh yeah, I totally cheated at Minecraft. But he has been denying it. So why? Why would you deny this and rally your massive, grossly huge fan base around you for a thing you obviously cheated at? Why not just admit it or ignore the scandal, right? Like, that's probably smart, right? Like, just nobody cares about math. Like, it's all math. So you just say, oh, I don't know about that. It's not true, but I don't know about that. And then you just continue on with your life and stop answering questions about it. Like, I already answered questions about that. I said I wasn't Minecraft doping, and that's all you need to know. Here's my 15th video about what if I played Minecraft and the light level was zero, so it was a black screen the whole time. Excellent YouTube content, me. Right? Gonna do my massive Twitch streams. But no, he like actively starts trying to defend himself against these pretty watertight allegations. Well, there are a couple of reasons for that. One is that Minecraft YouTube is very focused on your skill at Minecraft at this point. Like, you can't just be wandering around in Minecraft or making cool worlds or whatever. It's competitive enough that you need to be uniquely good at Minecraft to really get the cred to stay at the top of that scene. And so, like, how fast can you beat the game? How good are you at player versus player? How confidently can you navigate this obstacle course? And so cheating puts Dream skill in question. Like, what else did you cheat at, my dude? Like, are you a fraud, right? My man? What if he was never poggers at Minecraft? Things that matter to people and are important in our modern world. Right? But more importantly, it damages his personal character because cheating is bad morally. If Dream didn't aggressively defend himself, then his audience might feel deceived correctly and leave in droves. So he makes this ludicrous video, since probably deleted because I wasn't able to track it down, where he basically hires an anonymous astrophysicist to prove the mod team's math wrong and like all of this ludicrous stuff. And he, like, tells his fans that he's being slandered, basically. And even if he tells his fans immediately after, don't say anything bad to these people or anything, but they're slandering me, your personal friend Dream, who you've become very attached to because you're starved of social interaction, but be nice to them. But also, they're going to hurt my career and my livelihood, but be nice to them.
This sounds very much like Stop the Steal.
Oh, yeah, we love you. And what you're going to see is, if you look back, since this early period, like about a month ago, where Dream was kind of still in control of the situation, the tides have turned, and he's since completely lost control. But at the beginning, you'll see any video that's talking about, like, did this guy cheat? Spoilers, yes. You'll see massive dislike bombs on those videos. Right. This has since started to shift, and now, like, people are commenting on Dream all the time. You did a cheat in Minecraft. But, like, at the beginning, it was like his fans were very agitated about it. And so by acting indignant, his audience felt pushed to defend him. And they didn't really consider the allegations as the other advantage, because he's saying it wasn't true. So there's no reason to look into it because I trust Dream. I know who Dream is. I don't know who Minecraft streaming mod man is.
Right.
But I know who Dream is. And it doesn't help that his arguments were largely emotional, right? Mm-hmm. Easy for a 15-year-old viewer to understand, whereas the mod team's arguments were all about math and statistics, so they might as well have been speaking witchcraft nonsense.
But again, this is like so reflective of what's going on in the real world.
Oh, absolutely, where you cannot
penetrate the emotional sort of force field with your facts and your science.
Yeah,
right?
And like the PogChamp guy, his except more so, his fans are invested in Dream being a good person because they've been supporting him with their time and money and attention for a year.
Right.
So then people who are critical of Dream, which is an increasing number of people because somebody big is teetering on their pedestal and the sharks swarm in, right? People start holding him accountable for the behavior of his fans because who else is supposed to control them or stop them or fess up, right? Mm-hmm. And so eventually, like, all of this is just overwhelming and he isn't able to push back anymore. And so as far as I can tell, Dream just kind of went dormant on YouTube and social media until just recently. Kind of, he ultimately did opt to wait it out, which was what he should have done from the beginning if I was his PR manager, which he should have because he's huge. Then I would have said, like, you make a one sentence statement if you don't want to fess up to this, and you say, like, I don't know about that, and then you leave until everybody forgets about it. That's the responsible thing to do if you want to, like, be mostly unscathed,
it
in
is,
my opinion.
Well, maybe. Or admit that you were wrong. Say that you didn't want to disappoint people. Mm-hmm. Say that you're so sorry.
YouTube
You'll
apology
be better
video.
From now on. And think of something else to do on YouTube for a while.
Yeah. I would say there are actually probably more consequences to making a YouTube apology video than not at this point, because it's such a trope that it basically never works out positively. People will dissect your apology video and go like, this body language proves you weren't sincere. Like that's the space it is. But you know, you could give that a shot if you wanted to try to actually be a good person. But seriously, number one strategy from somebody who's watched a lot of people crash and burn, ignore it and teach your audience to ignore it. That's how you get out of that. But he only recently kind of started tweeting and stuff again. And so this is something he tweeted just recently, which I think is telling. Next up on the news, YouTuber Dream has refused to condemn murder after one of his fans turned out to be a murderer. Will he finally be held accountable? Tune in at 6 to find out. That's a thing he tweeted.
Wow.
Which I think is very interesting and reflective about where his mindset is at after he's had a big scandal that has involved how big his fan base is. I've seen a lot of this. Mm-hmm. I have observed it very closely. And I am really excited to talk about it, not now, because we've already talked for a very long time.
What a cliffhanger.
Yeah. But, like, this situation sucks for everybody, right? Like, yeah. Dream's not happy about this. His fans are probably in total nightmare mode right now. People deciding whether they're going to stay or jump ship or become his most avid haters to make up for the fact that they liked him. This is a common thing. People overcorrect. and it all comes down to, like, this parasocial relationship situation where everybody's very invested in everybody else. And we've talked about parasocial relationships in passing, but now I want to do a serious dive into how they impact creators and viewers and our greater society. Notice how a lot of people are very personally disappointed in Donald Trump right now. Mm-hmm. It's just been like lurking in your head this whole episode, mm-hmm. I've noticed, right? Mm-hmm. You've gone like, this is QAnon, this is Trump supporters, this is like what's going on in politics right now. And it is absolutely like internet populism manifest, and it's becoming normalized to think of big figures as your friends because of how the internet frames that for you. And so I'm really looking forward to talking about how that impacts people, but also how I think we should fix it, because I have ideas about that and you probably have pushback against my ideas because I'm not dictator of the world and can't just make everything good. But
I could try. I'm excited about your ideas, because most people who have any power to fix these problems don't even understand the problem. So
yeah, I understand it too well. I've spent so much time here. I know so many deep, intimate details about Corpse, and I don't want to. But it's such a good resource for science and study. But yeah, we're going to get into that and other stuff and my solutions later. So we'll
next
see you
time.
Then.
All right. Well, I'm very excited to hear more about that. But that was like a jam-packed episode all on its own. So you better subscribe to the show so you don't miss part two, because you could like just forget.
Oh, here's another funny thing you just reminded me of. So I started watching Minecraft YouTubers for preparation for this episode so that I understood Minecraft YouTube. And they all have the same like opening intro now. I think YouTube sent it to them where they're like, did you know only blah, blah, blah percent of my viewers are actually subscribed? Subscribe. Oh. They all say the exact same line and they're all different people. And it's a terrifying mannequin hive mind. And I don't understand it, so I'm glad yours was different. You haven't been taken over or corrupted yet, so that's really nice. Anyway, subscribe to our podcast.
If you want, if you're listening to it, that's good enough. Like, we're not it's up to you. But should you want to subscribe to the show, you can in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever else pods are cast. You can also find us and the rest of the outstanding members of the Alberta Podcast Network at albertapodcastnetwork.com. Many thanks to John for editing this episode. We are on Twitter at That's a Thing YEG, and you can always email us a question or a comment or a request for a That's a Thing button at thatsathingyeg@gmail.com. And I think that's it.
That's
Is that everything?
Everything, yeah.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Bye. Do I need to up the bass a little bit and just blast it?
It's okay. Carry on.
Okay.